We here are all such innovative people. So I am telling you, if you want to change the world, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to build the Iron Man suit, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to play theme music during your convocation speech like a badass, we're at Georgia Tech. We can do that. I am doing that.
And I am doing this. What is this, you might ask? What is this podcast channel that I have stumbled across? Well, this is a podcast known as What's the Good Word. I am your host, Joshua Julian, and I'm providing your one-stop shop, your truck stop on the side of the road, your all-you-can-eat buffet extravaganza for anything and everything related to Atlanta sports, Falcons, Braves, Georgia Tech, and the Atlanta Hawks. Anything and everything that you might want to hear about, I'm your guy. And if you're new to the channel, I'll give you the quick breakdown so that you don't have to do too much research. It's really easy for you. We do the Falcons at the beginning of the week. Normally on a Tuesday is when that comes out. Wednesday, Thursday can flip-flop depending on recording schedules, but that's where we do the Braves and Georgia Tech middle of the week. And then at the end of the week, we talk about the Atlanta Hawks. Not that there's much to really talk about with the Atlanta Hawks because they are sad and disappointing, but anyway, yes, we talk about anything and everything Atlanta sports related, Cobb County. We don't talk about UGA. We don't talk about those misspelled puppies. One, because I'm a Tech fan, and two, they're not in Atlanta. They're not near Atlanta, so they are not part of our conversation. Anyway, so this is the Braves episode, and when we left off, the Braves had taken 2 of 3 from the Houston Astros out in Texas, so we get to wrap up that series as well as the other series that was in between and most of the current series that they are playing. It'll be over by the time you hear this episode. So to finish off the Houston Astros, the Braves broke out the brooms and did a little spring cleaning. That's right. They got a sweep of the Houston Astros in Houston, 5-4 win in 10 innings, thanks to an Orlando Arcia single in the top of the 10th to score the ghost runner, Michael Harris. You love to see stuff like that come about. And shout out to specifically to Raisel Iglesias, who, you know, came in with the ghost runner on his end and did not allow a single run to score. Great stuff. This game was notable for a couple reasons. One, Marcelo Zuna got another home run. That was his 8th of the year at this game. You also had a double from Austin Riley, 2 RBIs from Orlando Arcia on a double himself, and you had the first home run of the year from Ronald Acuna Jr. Still looking to get going, but don't let the headlines fool you. It's not like he is hitting poorly. He's still hitting .309 with a .413 on base percentage. He just doesn't have a ton of extra base pop right now. I think he's still a little out of sync. I think his timing's kind of getting there. He struck out a little bit. His strikeout rate is kind of much higher than it was last year, so I would not be too worried about him just yet. There's still plenty of time for him to kind of get through. I mean, the same thing's going on with Matt Olson and Austin Riley. We'll talk about that once we get done with the game recaps. Max Fried got the start in this game, and he was not horrendous like he had been in his first two starts of the season, but he wasn't wonderful. He had pitched 5 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, all of them earned, 4 walks, and 2 punch-outs. So, again, not the worst performance in the world. It's one that you'll take considering how he pitched in the first two games, but hope, right? He's at least trending in the right direction where he's lasting 5 innings and he's not getting completely shelled. And outside of a 1-inning stint from Jesse Chavez that gave up a run, Pierce Johnson, Joe Jimenez, and AJ Minter absolutely slammed the door. Between those three and the aforementioned Iglesias, 0 hits. 0 hits, ladies and gentlemen. So across those final 4 innings of the game, the Astros did not have a hit. They only had 2 base runners, and those were from walks. So in the lineup, outside of the home run from Ozuna, you also had the 2-for-4 day from Orlando Arcia, 1-for-5 from Michael Harris with 2 runs scored, and Austin Riley with that double. So after the sweep, they traveled a little bit east and took on the Texas Rangers. And that is where, ladies and gentlemen, actually, they didn't travel east. They came all the way east to Atlanta. Sorry, I misread that. It made sense that they would do a Texas swing, but I digress. So the first game on Friday, April 19th, this was a magical night because Travis d'Arnaud, starting behind the plate, had been struggling just a little bit, you know, filling in as the everyday catcher for Sean Murphy. Travis d'Arnaud hit not one, not two, but 3 home runs in the game, with the last one being a grand slam after a solo home run in the bottom of the second and a solo home run in the bottom of the fifth in the bottom of the sixth after the Rangers tied the game on a two-run double from Adolis Garcia, Travis d'Arnaud stepped up to the plate and hit an absolute moonshot to take that 7-3 lead, which was after a bottom of the eighth homer from Michael Harris. The Braves got out with an 8-3 win. Travis d'Arnaud, 6 RBIs, 3-for-4. Goodness gracious, what a day. Michael Harris, 2-for-4 day as well on top of that. And then Marcelo Zuna had another hit as well, which put his average at .351 after that game. Offensively, the Braves didn't do a ton. You know, they only had 6 hits on the game, and 5 of them were from 2 people. It's just they were very impactful hits, and they came when it mattered. The big one was Chris Sale pitched 7 innings, and that's the kind of length that you really want to see from the Braves starting lineup or starting rotation. 7 innings, 5 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. Made it real simple for the bullpen. Tyler Matzek came in, got 2 strikeouts in his inning, and then Pierce Johnson came in, slammed the door, made sure that nobody did anything funny or any kind of funny business, and so the Braves got out with that 8-3 win. And then the next day, on Saturday, they got a 5-2 victory after a 2-0 lead from the Rangers in the top of the second. The Braves had a 3-run bottom of the second that was started with a Luis Guillorme double that scored Travis d'Arnaud. You had a RBI single from Michael Harris and a sac fly from Matt Olson. And then, of course, because Travis d'Arnaud was just a nuclear hot this series, he hit himself another home run to bring in 2 runs of his own in the bottom of the eighth to kind of put the bow on top, make it a 5-2 lead that the Rangers could not overcome. Other than d'Arnaud's 2 RBIs and 2 walks, you had a 3-for-5 day from Michael Harris in the 2-hole. Acuna had a 1-for-3 day, also had a stolen base. That was his 9th of the year. And Marcelo Zuna's hit streak was ended in this game. He was 0-for-3. Is what it is. He's been nuclear hot. We can deal with that. Charlie Morton strode a little bit, but did give them 6 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts. At this point, you'll kind of take that from the starters with the way that the season has started. You just want some length. And the trio of Joe Jimenez, AJ Minter, and Raisel Iglesias shut down the Texas offense, and the Braves got the 5-2 victory. Raisel got his 6th save of the year. Charlie Morton improved to 2-0. And there you go. The Braves had already taken the series. Unfortunately, on the Sunday game, they did lose 6-4. Darius Vines got the start, lasted 5 innings, and kept it close, but the top of the fourth was kind of his undoing. Gave up 2 home runs. One was a solo homer to Evan Carter, and then one was a 3-run homer to Andrew Kisner, I believe is how you say that last name. But outside of that one inning, he did very, very well. He acquitted himself quite well with those 4 runs. And Tyler Matzek unfortunately gave up 2 runs in his inning of work, but which kind of, you know, took the game out of reach. It made it 6-3. Braves tried to come back. They scored 1 run in the 8th on an Austin Riley single, but it was not enough, and the Braves did not get the win. But you did have a 3-run homer from Marcelo Zuna because, you know, of course. Other than that, you know, a 2-for-4 day at the top of the order from Ronald Acuna. Otherwise, it was just 1 hit from Austin Riley and then 1 hit from Chadwick Tromp. The offense was blanked in this game by Rangers starter Michael Lorenzen. Only gave up 3 hits, 3 walks. It is what it is. I mean, there's always going to be a couple days like that. It seems to be the Sunday games for the Braves. I just don't think they like playing on the Lord's Day. But I digress. And that took us into the current series against the Marlins. They've played 18 innings so far, and the Marlins have yet to score a run, which is both good for the Braves pitching staff because they have pitched well, but the Marlins' offense is also anemic, for lack of a better term. So there's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B here with that. In the first game, the Braves called up Bryce Elder to fill that start, and he pitched a gem of a game. He did give up 8 hits in 6 2/3 of an inning, but they were kind of scattered out. Didn't really do any damage, and he did not give up a single run. Followed by Pierce Johnson, AJ Minter, and Raisel Iglesias, not giving up any hits, not giving up any runs, not giving up any walks. So a great day from the Braves pitching staff. Offensively, the Braves did all of their damage in one inning and then kind of packed it in for the day. Travis d'Arnaud, another home run. That was his 5th on the year, and basically his 5th in the past week, because he had not hit a home run up until that 3-homer day. You also had a double from Orlando Arcia, and the other RBI came from a David Fletcher single. David Fletcher called up to help kind of fill the Ozzie Albies hole
He got the start today at second base. And then other than that, you had two stolen bases from Michael Harris on a 2-for-4 day, and a stolen base from Ronald Acuna from his one hit. And yeah, the Braves offense didn't do a ton. They drew their fair share of walks. There were 5 walks on the day for the Braves. But other than that, I mean, they did all their scoring kind of in one inning and kind of packed it in from there. Then the most notable pitching performance was actually this past game, a 5-0 win for the Atlanta Braves. It wasn't because of the offense, although the offense was great, with a Michael Harris RBI double, David Fletcher with another RBI, a sac fly, Travis d'Arnaud with a sac fly, and then Duvall putting a bow on it with a 2-run homer to score the big bear Ozuna. The big one was Max Fried pitched a complete game shutout, only 3 hits given up. In 92 pitches, he pulled a Maddux, which you do not see like at all in modern baseball. So impressive nonetheless. 6 strikeouts for Max brought his season ERA down from about the 7s to a 4.97, which you love to see. And that's like the most notable thing, right? I mean, you had a 2-for-4 day from Duvall with the 2 RBIs on the homer. Michael Harris went 2-for-4. Ronald Acuna 1-for-4 at the top of the order. He's still hitting over 300, although his slugging percentage is in the 300s as well, which you hope will improve. Austin Riley did get a hit, but Austin Riley, Matt Olson both have not hit a home run in like weeks. I believe since April 7th, I saw. Both of them, their averages are down below the 250s. Matt Olson hitting 212 after a hot start. So despite the fact that your 3-4 hitters are both struggling with OPSs in the 700s, this Braves lineup continues to score at a good pace. They continue to be opportunistic, and the pitching staff has really helped in this past week, as you saw. I mean, outside of like one mediocre start from Darius Vines, you had good starts, like an okay start from Max Fried, a good start from Chris Sale, good start from Charlie Morton, a great start from Max Fried and Bryce Elder. The pitching staff is starting to come together. The bullpen is doing what they can. Outside of the one Met series, they have been one of the best in baseball. And the offense continues to lead the majors in like runs scored. They're hitting the ball super hard. There really isn't any reason to be super concerned. So by the time this episode comes out, you will have seen the Braves' final game against the Marlins, where Sixto Sanchez will be going up against Ronaldo Lopez, the Braves' ace so far this season. And then we'll get into it. Next show, we'll talk about the series against the Guardians and most of the series against the Mariners. Kind of update you guys on that. Otherwise, the other big thing that I want to talk about on this podcast episode is I've seen it in a couple articles and I've seen some fans talk about it. The popular belief seems to be that the Braves should make a trade. And when I say make a trade, it is for a specific position group. It is starting pitcher. Basically, anytime a starting pitcher is rumored as, oh, this guy's going to be on the trade market, specifically Jesus Luzardo is the one that I've seen the most. Whenever that kind of comes up, the Braves are always connected to them. And that kind of brings up the question, hey, should the Braves make that move? Should they go for a starting pitcher in order to shore up the rotation? And my short answer is no. And it's for a couple reasons. One, I think it's way too early in the season to be looking at it in that way, right? I think you've still got plenty of time for a lot of these guys to kind of show up and show through. I mean, Charlie Morton is getting up there in age, but he has been definitely defensible. Chris Sale looks the best he has in a couple years. Ronaldo Lopez has an ERA that starts with 0. And then outside of that, you know, you've got Max Fried, who I did not want to sell stock in. And outside of the 2 bad starts at the beginning of the year, he's really starting to put it together. I don't think he's going to give you a Maddux every day because it is the Marlins offense. But if he can get back to where he's giving you 5-6 strong innings, then you're golden, right? And then outside of that, filling that 5th starter spot, there's just so many pieces in this organization that you already have access to. There's no real reason to trade from that prospect capital, what little prospect capital you have, to go get a Jesus Luzardo or any of the starting pitchers that will be available. Same thing with the relief arms. I found it interesting. There was any of the other articles I've read, whenever they bring up a relief arm, like Kenley Jansen maybe being available, they connect him to the Braves. And I'm like, where would he, if Kenley Jansen came to the Braves, he would be our 6th inning guy. Quite simply. We already have plenty of guys in the bullpen. Aaron Bummer's gotten off to a bit of a slow start. Tyler Matzek has kind of been up and down. you know what? Aaron Bummer, I believe in him. I think his FIP is still super low, so a lot of it's bad luck. And Tyler Matzek is still working his way back from an arm surgery. He's shaking off some rust. And he also gave his entire left arm for that World Series run. And for that, I will forever be grateful to him. And he has earned every spot possible on this team. So, but outside of him, I mean, Joe Jimenez has been awesome. Raisel Iglesias has been really good. AJ Minter's been really good. Pierce Johnson has continued to pitch really well. Jesse Chavez has been great as the long man out there. And there's no real reason to go pick up any pitchers right now. And part of it is it's still super early. If we get to the trade deadline and, you know, Darius Vines hasn't locked down the rotation spot, he's given up too many gopher balls, and Bryce Elder continues to kind of do his Jekyll and Hyde thing, and maybe we just don't want to bring Smith Shawver up. He's not ready. Huascar Yanoa's not fully back, and Ian Anderson's still yet to throw. Then, yeah, maybe you go out and find, like, a cheap guy who can fill the back of the rotation. There is no reason for the Braves to be looking for a Jesus Luzardo type, because to get Jesus Luzardo, you're going to have to give up your top prospects, and those top prospects are pitchers, so you might as well just, like, wait a year, because Smith Shawver's not super far away. I don't think Hurston Waldrop's very far away, so why give those guys up for 2 years of Luzardo when you're then going to have to extend him? Right. Then the big other main reason, not only the Strider injury, is also, well, Max Fried might walk in free agency. One, Max Fried might also resign. There's always the chance of that. But if he doesn't, again, you've got these kids down in the minors. Just wait for them to be ready. I mean, Hurston Waldrop and AJ Smith Shawver both have very high upside. And if you can't, you've still got, you know, Spencer Strider with the internal brace procedure that he underwent. He should be ready pretty early next year, considering he went down in April. He should be ready around April to May next year. So you'll have that number one. You'll still have Chris Sale around, I think, if you want him to be around. You'll have Ronaldo Lopez. So that's three solid like spots right there. And you can always go find another guy in free agency. I mean, the Braves signed Charlie Morton as a free agent. They traded for Chris Sale in the offseason, so you could always explore that. And I mean, they signed Ronaldo Lopez, decided to stretch him out as a starter, which we all bashed, and so far, so good. So it's just too early to make that call, but I would aggressively lean no on that front right there. So the other thing we're going to do in the show is give you updates on the minor leagues. Down on the farm, we're reporting from the farm. What are we looking at? Well, AJ Smith Shawver still getting stretched out. Hasn't gone deeper than 4 2/3 yet in his starts. His first two starts, he gave up 3 runs apiece. But in his most recent start, only gave up 1 run with 3 strikeouts and 4 2/3 of an inning against Memphis. So looking like they're kind of being careful with his arm. They're stretching him out. And that's an encouraging sign. That's an encouraging start. Hurston Waldrop, after his disaster of a first start, has put up 2 decent ones after a 4 1/3 inning start where he gave up 3 earned runs against Biloxi, where he had 4 walks and 3 Ks. Went 6 innings in his next start, did give up 8 hits, but only one of them scored. 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. His ERA on the season down to 7.62 in only the 3 starts. Positive showings here. Spencer Schwellenbach, he finally gave up an earned run after 2 scoreless outings in his first 2 starts, gave up 3 runs in 5 1/3 innings, but he also had 8 strikeouts. So on the season, the whip is at 0.78, the ERA 1.62, and the opponent average against 155. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I think we'll take that, right? Owen Murphy has actually been the biggest standout. He's gone 6 2/3, 5 1/3, and then 5 innings, but he's had 8 strikeouts and 11 strikeouts respectively. So he did give up 2 earned runs in that 5-inning start. His most recent one against Asheville, gave up a home run, but he had the 2 walks and he had the 11 strikeouts, which again, you'll take. So plenty of positive signs from those aforementioned pitching prospects. More reason why you would not want to give them up. Currently Nacho Alvarez down at Mississippi, he's hitting .281 on the year with a .406 on base percentage, doing exactly what he does best. But he also has a .298 slugging percentage currently, which means in his 57 at-bats with his 16 hits, he has a single extra base hit. So fitting his prospect profile to a T. We also have down in AA, Cade Keeler did give up an earned run for the first time in his 3rd start.
six innings, gave up four runs, had four strikeouts, two home runs in that game. So not a great start, but this is after back-to-back scoreless outings in 10 innings with 11 strikeouts in those 10 innings. So something that you'll kind of deal with, right? Drew Hackenberg down in Rome has a 3.95 ERA on the year. This is after a relatively bad start, gave up five runs, four of them earned in four innings, but did have six strikeouts. He's sat around 5 to 6 strikeouts in his three starts, so decent signs from him. Drake Baldwin in Double A is hitting 360 with a 364 on base and a 420 slug. That's exactly the kind of stuff you want to see. Three doubles, one home run, also a 12-5 strikeout to walk ratio. Beautiful stuff. That is the guy that I have circled, bolded, highlighted, all the adjectives that you might want to use to describe him. He is my personal favorite hitting prospect, but personal favorite prospect in this system. The other notable one down at the bottom, ranked number 23 on MLB Pipeline, Garrett Bauman in Augusta. Three starts in, he has a 1.15 ERA. His most recent start, six innings, three hits, no runs. Did have two walks, but also had seven strikeouts. This is a high school kid the Braves took last year, 6'8", 245, real projectable frame, had a big fastball that he could get to 96, 97. There was a lot of upside. There's just also a lot of unknown on him. So the fact that he has showed up and so far shown out is a wonderful thing to see. And then finally, some other personal, draft crushes of mine. Sabin Ceballos is struggling a little bit down in Rome, hitting 235. Does have a 339 on base percentage, though, drawing his fair share of walks. Diego Benitez is hitting 184 for Augusta. And Ambioris Tavares is in Rome. He got bumped up despite a bad season in Augusta last year. He's hitting 205 with 23 strikeouts and 44 at-bats. So, unfortunately, more of the same for the former hyped international prospect. Isaiah Drake, another draft pick from last year out of the Georgia high school ranks, is hitting 100 so far, 100 in Augusta in 11 games. So hitting wise, the Braves farm system is kind of living up to what you would expect. But pitching wise, there has been plenty of good signs. You also have three starts so far from Adam Mayer, the mystery box from the 2022 draft that is making his professional debut. And he kind of got roughed up in his first start, then gave up three runs in his most recent start in four innings pitched. But in between there, he had a nice gym where he went five innings, only two hits given up and six strikeouts. So at least you're starting to see some solid improvement, starting to see some guys kind of show up and show out. And finally, last guy we'll talk about, Giancarlos Lara, has not pitched so far for the Rome Braves. I think he's dealing with an injury. But and then David McCabe down in Rome has not played as well. He is also dealing with an injury. So that is going to be your farm report. That is going to be the end of this podcast. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to me ramble and throw tons and tons of numbers at you. I hope it was beneficial. But if you're a football or basketball fan, stick around for our other shows these coming weeks. We've got the NFL draft stuff coming up. Plenty of stuff to talk about with the Atlanta Hawks in the offseason now. So there's time to speculate and dream on what this team will look like next year. And if you're a Georgia Tech fan, stick around for that podcast, and you'll also be able to educate all the new listeners on what our outro means, because you guys know the answer. Hopefully you'll be able to tell everybody else if they don't know. It's a very simple question, and you have a simple response. What's the good word?